Audio is working, and let's hope. Is the video working? That's what we want to know. And if the video is working, we're ready. Let me know if you see me on the Real Player. It's been a beautiful day so far on the Sabbath here.
Nice and sunny.
Yeah, it's nice to see the sun. Thank God.
Yes, we missed the sun.
Video working, I hope.
He's checking. He said.
Okay.
He's checking. Checking, checking, checking.
We're checking. Well, let's see. Today's a beautiful day in Tennessee.
Still trying to connect.
Okay. It's not working, right?
He doesn't say. He's
not
not
working
working here.
here. Try it
Okay,
again.
stop it again.
Okay, I'll try it.
And the audio is working. I know that. Let's try it again. It's not working again, right?
I don't know. I'm gonna try it. My rope player's taking forever.
Ask him to check again too. He's checking. His rope player's
Your
probably
I can
already.
tell you this, your mic is way too low.
Yeah, I'll lower it. I don't think it's working.
Well, I'll tell you a second too.
Nope. He says no.
Okay, let me
You
stop.
sure that thing is off? Your VPN didn't. Sometimes it'll turn on and
Stop
go
the
off.
audio. Let me
Just give it a
stop.
quick check and
Yeah,
VPN
just
again. I
hang
mean.
on a second. Let me stop this. Okay, we started. Yes. Well, Shabbat Shalom again, and we'll blow the trumpet in Zion. Shabbat Shalom. If you're wondering why I always look real quick like that, I always think she's going to clunk me in the head. But hasn't happened at this point. But it's nice to be here. Well, Shabbat Shalom. It's nice to be here. We're one in Messiah congregation. Mashiach. This one in Messiah. And we're going to ask God to bless and anoint this day. Heavenly Father, King of the universe, Master of all things, we come to you today, ask you to cover us in your holy blood, any sin, any blemish. We thank and praise you for the joy you give us every day, Father, and for the forgiveness of sins, knowing that we have eternal life waiting for us. Bless and anoint this study. Let it be fruitful for everyone and beneficial. We pray you'll touch everyone and strengthen everyone today and heal everyone. Lead, guide, and direct us in everything we say, do, and act, Father. And I thank you for the blood of Yeshua and for the gift of God. And may God always be with us. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Well, here we are one more time in Hole-in-Wall, Tennessee, 27 South Maple Street. And I officially signed up for my new license for the prison, which is another whole episode. Today is January the 26th in the 2019. Tell my wife this morning, I accidentally wrote 2119. Then I thought, whoa, 100 years. That's 100 years from now. So 2019 is good enough. 21st century. January is just about over. Yehovah has his own calendar. We're on the 19th day of Shabbat, the 11th month of God. And my ministry has been a teaching ministry to bring up subjects and topics, maybe you're not aware of or you're not familiar with. I like to, undelete them for you, make them more clearer. If I ever go too fast for you, or if you want to remember something, remember my server, little artificial intelligence, is still running over there. You can read the studies, you can listen to the studies, you could even watch the studies, or you could even upload them to your iPads or iPhones or whatever you got. And bring me with you if you want, if you feel so inclined. We're streaming right now live on Real Player. And we're in the Paltalk room, as far as I know. And everything seems to be going good today. I haven't received any invitations to do anything lately. For some strange reason, it's been very dry, Anyway, there's a link there to help you with that. When I did my, minister thing the other license the other day, renewing it, I went back to 2018 and I see the American criminal justice system holds, check this out, almost 2.3 million people. That's how many prisoners there are in the United States, 2.3 million. And that's, it tells you about the state prisons, the amount, and the federal prisons, and the juvenile correction facilities, local jails, the Indian country trails, and the military prisons, immigration detention facilities, civil commitment centers, state psychiatric hospitals and prisons. That's how many different kind of places that hold the 2.3 million people. That's in 2018. When I went to my lessons the other day, it was such a legal thing. They go through all these legal things about, you know, the different things that you have to learn. And one thing that really hit me was that they have 450 beds and 356 already filled right at the prison there. You know, and you think, wow, that's a lot. You know, it's a lot of people just incarcerated for one reason or another. Anyway, mind you, the thing that really got me when I was in there, I was looking at all these people that are so-called ministers of, you know, the Baptist Church and Church of Christ and the Catholics were sitting next to me and whatever. Their people are actually in the jail. They have all these big meetings and stuff with their people. I just thank God that I don't have anyone in jail at this moment or going to prison, that I don't have to, you know, go visit you. So I thank the Lord for that. So I only get to sign up again, hoping for the best, praying for the best that you never do anything wrong enough to get caught and get thrown in prison. But anyway, and it's a horrible thing. There's people there that done things you can't even imagine. Anyway, getting back to the study today, I wanted to go over just some books in the Bible. Books we have, books we don't have, and churches, all the different little ways they phrase the gatherings of the believers. There are many inferences of the word books in the scriptures. Here are just a few. In Genesis, it starts off, Genesis 5 says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. So obviously, there must have been a book written. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him, male and female created he them and blessed them, and he called their name Adam in the day that they were created. So their name was Adam. Isn't that weird? Of course, she became known as Chava, known as today Eve. Anyway, the book of the generations, the book of the generations of Adam. And he had a lot of generations because he lived, 900 and something years, right? Yeah. Then we go to Exodus 17:14. Jehovah said to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. So everything that God told Moses, he's telling it to Joshua now, and he says, rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. So everything that God does is recorded. You know, I noticed that. I was thinking about that. It's a record of everything. Exodus 24, and he took the book of the covenant. We all know what that is, the book of the covenant, and read it in the audience of the people. And they said, all that Jehovah had said, we will do and be obedient. That's the commandments, you know, the book of the covenant. And written with the finger of God, you know, these rocks. Exodus 32:32. He says, yeah, this is pretty deep. This is Moses talking. And I probably wouldn't have said this. I got to be honest. He said, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin when they made the golden calf there with Aaron, that Aaron made. And if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. That's an eternal book. Eternal life book. Yeah. I don't think I could say that, can you? David has a little interesting wording right here. He says, thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not written in thy book? So everything that we do is recorded, you know. Like there's like a little angel or somebody behind us writing down everything we do. Say, we'll have to give account too. Psalms again says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, And in thy book, all my members were written. God's book, all our members are written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. God, he can record everything before it even was even created or thought about. He's just aware of everything that we can even imagine. Isn't that amazing? Of course, we read in the book of Numbers about the spirit of jealousy, the law of jealousies, that they had to write all the curses in a book and blot them out with the bitter water, you know. That's an interesting little thing you could read in Numbers. We could read that later. That's chapter 5. But that's interesting. They had to write all the curses in a book. And then, of course, Revelation has a couple of times, it talks about the book of life. It says, he that overcometh, the saint shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. See that book of life right there? Should have made it in blue, huh? But I will confess my name before my Father and before his angels. So you have to overcome, and you'll be clothed in white raiment. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names that are not. This is the anti-Messiah. People that names are not in the book of life. Of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Boy, that's a horrible thought. Revelation again says, the beast that thou saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell upon earth shall wonder. The ones that whose names that are not written in the book of life. So we should not be aware of all these things, that there is a book of life and there's a book written, and we're either in it or not. Revelation 20 says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. This is the end. And the books were opened. The books. See that books? Yeah, where is it? Right here, books. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. I believe those other books are the books we're going to be judged out of. Yeah. And another book was opened, and the dead, oh, it says right there, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. So we got the books right in front of you. You know those books you got, the book of Genesis and book of Deuteronomy and the book of whatever, Leviticus, and we're going to be judged out of those books. And you can be judged out of that. So it's not like it's not going to go, aha, I got a different book. He's not going to trick us. You have the book right in front of you for the test. And you being a teacher, you know about tests, right? There's the book. We have to make sure we know it. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So if you're not written in the book of life, you're cast into the lake of fire and you'll burn forever. Isn't that horrible? Revelation 21 has all these about the book of life. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, only the people that are written in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. So I hope we're all in that. If any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, no eternal security, remember. God shall take your part, take away his part out of the book of life. And out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So you definitely, something you should be thinking about is the book of life. I don't know if I think about it as I get older, but the book of life is really there. We got to make sure we're in it. Now here's a different take on books. Here's some books mentioned in scripture that we don't even have today. I don't know if you ever knew this, but there's books mentioned in the Bible we don't even have. Like in the book of Numbers 21:14, it says, wherefore it's said in the book of the wars of Jehovah. We don't have the book of the wars of Jehovah. What he did in the Red Sea and in the brooks of Arnon. So we don't have that book, the book of the wars. I wonder where that book went. You know? Here's a book in Joshua. The sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people that avenged themselves upon their enemies, is it not written in the book of Jasher? And we don't really have that book today, and I'll explain that later. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. So we don't have that book because that's so long ago, the book of Joshua time. 2 Samuel, it says, the children of Judah, they used the bow. It's written in the book of Jasher. We don't have that. The rest of the Acts of Solomon and all that he did and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the Acts of Solomon? We don't have the Acts of Solomon. The book of the Acts of Solomon. There's a lot of things we don't have, you know. We were thinking about that this morning. We don't have these. Here's one in Chronicles. Now the Acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer. And in the book of, we have Samuel, but we don't have the book of Nathan the prophet and the book of Gad the seer. We only have the book of Samuel the seer. We only have, the, you know, first and second Samuel, but we don't have the book of Nathan the prophet and Gad. Those were, they were never discovered, I guess, or from archaeology. That's too bad, you know. Here's one, another one in Chronicles. The rest of the Acts of Solomon, the first one, oh, same thing, the book of Nathan. And also the prophecy of Ahijah, the Shilamite. And in the visions of Iddo, the seer, we don't have those either, against Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. So we don't have the visions of Iddo, and we don't have the prophecy of Ahijah, the Shilamite. Chronicles again. Now the rest of Acts of Rehoboam, first one. Ahijah. Now the rest of the Acts of Rehoboam, first and last, they are written in the book of Shemaiah, the prophet. We don't have him. We would have Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Shemaiah. But we don't have that. And in Iddo the seer, we don't have the book of the Iddo the seer concerning genealogies. The wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually. You know, we don't have any of that. We have a little bit. We don't have the book of Jehu right here. See that right there? That's in Chronicles. We don't have that. I guess that's called Yahu, right? Or Yahu. Ezra 4 has the book of the records of the fathers. I don't even know what that is. See that? The book of the records of the fathers and the book of the records. It's right there, the book of the records of the fathers, not just anybody. We don't have any of that. That must be a whole series of everything, you know. Probably so many things that were not discovered or rediscovered, I should say, you know. Huh? They could have been destroyed, sure. A lot of stuff was destroyed in 70 AD, I know that. Yeah, so it might have just perished, written on perishable materials. You know, I was noticing a lot of people always talk about the book of Enoch. Well, the scriptures never say a book of Enoch, first of all. In the letter to Jude, it just says, Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. It doesn't say a book of Enoch, right? So that's all made up too, huh?
A lot of people
sure. I just wanted to make sure you understand that there's no book of Enoch, because Enoch's before the flood. That means Noah would have to have a copy in his back pocket. I don't think he did that. Yeah, sure. Well, here's some contradictions to the Bible in Josh, the book of Joshua, that people have circulating today. Just to show, Yasher. So, in other words, there is some books circulating that bear this name. There are many contradictions in the Bible in the book of Yasher. Here are just a few. Here's Yasher. This is today now. This is not anything that's scriptural. Yasher 13:5 says that Abraham went to the land of Canaan at the age of 50 and went back to Haran and back to Canaan at the age of 75. Well, Genesis says that Abram was 75 when he departed from Haran. So that's a contradiction right there. Yasher says that states that one of the angels tells Abraham that Sarah will have a son, but Genesis says that God told Abraham. Yasha says the Lord got the idea of presenting Isaac as an offering from Isaac's boast to Ishmael.
What?
We know, of course, that God is sovereign, and it's, as it says in Genesis, that the Lord was testing Abraham. It was, I don't know, they just make stuff up. That's why a lot of these books you got to watch out for. Genesis 28 states that Isaac sent Jacob to Padan Aram unto Laban, but Yasha says that he fled to the house of Eber and hid there for 14 days. 14 years, excuse me. Could you imagine him doing that?
Nope.
Yasha says Isaac dies according to the chronology of Yasha. Joseph was in Egypt, but in Genesis, Isaac died before Joseph had his dreams. That's good. Well, it's a total contradiction. Simeon could not be bound in Yasha, but in Genesis 42, Simeon is bound before their eyes. But Yasha says he couldn't be bound. So that's a total contradiction. That's why when you people say they have the book of Enoch, forget that. And when they say they got the book of Yasha, forget that. The brothers tell Joseph, whom they don't recognize, that they were looking for their brother, him, Genesis, right? Yasha, Pharaoh proclaims no more straw, but the same amount of bricks before Moses goes to Pharaoh. Exodus says it happened after Moses confronted Pharaoh. Anyway, Yasha, at the end of 2 years, the Lord sent Moses to Pharaoh. While Exodus tells us, the Lord said unto Moses, get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. In the morning is a lot different than 2 years. Go to 2 years, at the end of 2 years. The book of Yasha is just a made up stories. Here's how Yasha lists, you know, the 10 plagues. Here's what they say. Okay, water into blood. That's okay. Frogs. Lice. The Lord sent all kinds of beasts into Egypt and destroyed all Egypt.
All kinds of beasts.
What kind of beasts? That's not in Exodus. Fiery serpents, scorpions, mice, weasels, and toads.
Is that where you got the weasel?
That's not in Exodus, right? How about flies, hornets, fleas, bugs, and gnats? All reptiles, winged animals, and came and grievous and grieved the Egyptians. That's not in Exodus either. All reptiles and winged animals. What's a winged animal? A bat?
Flying horses?
Dragons that are flying. Check this out. Check this out. This is in the book of Yasha. God ordered the Sulamuth from the sea. She had long arms, 10 cubits in length, and she went upon the roofs and uncovered the rafting and flooring and stretched forth her arms and removed locks and bolts and opened the house of Egypt.
That
sounds like a mythology, like a Greek gods or some kind of nonsense. That's definitely not in Exodus. Okay, there's pestilence. They got that one right. Now, then they have the burning inflammation. That's not really in Exodus. They have sort of. This is what they had. Boils, hail and fire, locusts, darkness, and firstborn killed. Okay? That's what our Bible is. Okay. Now, we're wondering if this is the author's imagination. Yasha, this is what it says in the book of Yasha. This passage says that the skins that God made for Adam and Eve's wife went to Enoch after his death. After their death.
Except that Enoch was alive when Adam was still alive.
Yes.
Well, that's why we're wondering if this is the imagination of the book of Yasha's crazy. And let me read this again. This passage says the skins that God made for Adam and his wife went to Enoch after their death, then to Methuselah, then to Noah and Ham. Ham stole them and gave them to Cush. They were then passed to Nimrod, who became strong when he put on the magic garments. This is in the book of Yasha. Yasha says that Esau killed Nimrod and takes Adam's skins. But that's what I'm trying to say. In the Pseudepigrapha, there's like a couple of hundred books that, you know, the Bible, not the Bible, people of that talk about them. They say they're spurious and they're very uninspired and they're just unscriptural. They're just, I mean, really. I was just looking out the window there. I was noticing more canines are walking around. Yasha says 120 terrible animals from the wilderness came to the asses of Anan. Their shape was from the middle downward of the man of the children of men, and from their middle upward, some like the likeness of bears, some kefirs, with tails behind them from between their shoulders, reaching down to the earth. That's mythological characters. Sounds like one of those... Yeah. Now listen to this one. Did you know that Yasha says Zippo kills beast?
I didn't know the Marx Brothers were
around. The Marx Brothers, they weren't in there, were they? Zippo? Zippo kills beast, half man and half animal. From the middle upward is resembled a man, and from the middle downward resembled an animal. This is definitely not in the Bible, and it's definitely made up. Here's Balaam, Job, and Reuel in Egypt at the same time. How could that be? Reuel, you know who Reuel is, that's Jethro. How could Jethro and Job and Balaam be all at the same time? Reuel takes Joseph's stick and returns to Midian. How about this one? At age three, Moses puts Pharaoh's crown on his head. How about King Moses of Cush raises stalks to devour serpents that guard city? This is in the book of Yasha. And then they say, oh, we got the book of Yasha. How about Moses holds the sapphire stick? That sounds mythological. In the Garden of Reuel, with the name of the Lord God on stick. Adam took stick from Eden. Then it came to Noah, then to Shem, and then to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They brought it to Egypt, and he gave it to Joseph. Joseph died. Reuel took it and planted it. This is totally insane. Well, this is a book that we unfortunately have today that somebody thinks is inspired. I think they better think it over again, right? Yeah. Here's another chapter in Yasha. It says, their judges, rulers, went to the daughters of men and took their wives by force, rape, from their husbands according to their choice. And the sons of men in those days took from the cattle of the earth, the beast of the field, and the fowl of the air, and taught the mixture of animals of one spices with another
species.
And the mixture of animals, and taught the mixture of animals of one species with another in order to provoke the Lord. Where does it say any of that? It should be obvious that today's many books of Yasha are certainly not inspired and should be discarded. In other words, like this, and believe it or not, there's actually a couple of versions of Yasha today too. So we don't have the real one that it talks about in the Bible. That is the problem. Yasha? No, it's pseudepigrapha.
Pseudepigrapha.
No, pseudepigrapha is in textual criticism and all the books, sort of like the books that they found, and a lot of them are just erroneous. Most of them are erroneous. Anyway, so as you see, there are some books that we don't have, and there's books that we unfortunately have. One book we definitely have today, and a few different versions, and it's inspired. It's ridiculous. Now, we'll go over a little bit of some churches, congregations, assemblies, groups of godly people mentioned in the Bible. So a lot of times, you know, we don't think about this kind of stuff, but my mind thinks of all different ways of dissecting the scriptures, you know. In Exodus 12, we have the congregation of Israel. Okay? Psalm 1, it says, the congregation of the righteous. So we're like a congregation of the righteous, right? Then we have, of course, you know, the seven churches that are in Asia. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. They're all gone today, you know. When you look in Asia Minor, which is really Arab territory today, they're all gone. And, of course, Messiah was sort of called the church in the wilderness. That was called church, too. Because church, I'll explain what that word means in a few minutes. That's in Acts 7:38. Messiah was in the church in the wilderness. See that? Paul was obviously persecuting against the church. And the church today is known as the Catholic Church. And that wasn't there. So it's not the church. The church there is a whole different thing in the Bible. Right. Acts 9 mentions churches, so it's in the plural, so there's many different churches that we don't have information on. The churches that were in Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, we don't have actual names of those churches. The tidings then of these things were in the ears of the church, which is at Jerusalem. We don't have that. We don't have that church anymore. It's really sad how a lot of things in the Bible, they never mention where they went or what happened to them or their names. Or, you know, it's very amazing to think about. Let's see, this one in Acts 26, it says, again, they assembled at the church. And this is the Christians. This is supposed to be the Christians were called Messiah people were first called that in Antioch. Here's the word for synagogue that's in the Bible about 68 times or more. It says, it's a Greek word, and it's amazing how they still use the word synagogue there. It says, a bringing together, gathering, contracting. The Gospels as an assembly, assembling together of men, as an assembly of men. A synagogue, an assembly of Jews formerly gathered together to offer prayers, listen to the reading and expositions of the scriptures. Synagogues, assemblies of that sort were held every Sabbath and feast day. The name transferred to an assembly of Christians formerly together, gathered together for religious purposes. The buildings where those solemn Jews assemblies are held. So that's what a synagogue is, you know. Synagogues seem to date their origin from the Babylonian exile. I don't know about that. In the time of Yeshua, the apostles, every town, not only in Israel, but also among the Gentiles, it contained a considerable number of Jewish inhabitants, had at least one synagogue, a larger town, several, or even many. These were also used for trials and inflicting punishment, too, some synagogues. Anyway, the synagogue is used 55 times. One time it says congregation, and one time it says assembly. So those words are interchangeable, you know, from the Greek, you know. We don't know too much about the church at Antioch. The congregation is synagogue. We don't know about that. Let's see. Synagogue, it says, Psalms says that it's very sad. It says, let us destroy them together. That's what it said. Synagoge, that's the Greek. The Greek word.
Yeah.
It's in the Greek. Psalm 74 says, They say, these wicked people say in their hearts, let us destroy them. They have burned all the synagogues of God in the land. And that's right in Psalms. I think that's the only time it says that. Synagogues. I don't know how that word got in the Hebrew, but there it is. The word church really means ekklesia. It comes from the Greek. It's a gathering together of citizens called out for their homes into some public meeting or an assembly. It's a sacred assembly, you know, an assemblage of people convened at a public place of the council for purpose of deliberating. So the word church has a lot of meanings. The assembly of Israelites, any gathering or throng of men assembled by chance, tumultuously, in a Christian, also in a Christian sense, an assemblage of Christians gathered for worship in a religious meeting. The word church also means a company of Christians or those who, hoping for eternal salvation through Yeshua the Messiah, observe their own religious rites, hold their own religious meetings, and manage their own affairs according to regulations prescribed for the body for the order's sake. So the word church has a lot of meanings. In other words, it's not a building, basically. It's the people. We're the church. It says those who anywhere in a city, village, constitute such a company and are united in one body, that's us, like people. It's not a building. The whole body of Christians scattered throughout the earth, and last another way to look at it, the assembly of faithful Christians already dead and received into heaven. Church in heaven, you know. So, whatever, any way you want to put it, it's the collection of believers in some way, assembly. A church isn't like this place we're in isn't a church. We are the church. We're the people of God in here. That's what I'm trying to get at. Okay. Then we have the Moad, which a lot of people always think it means something else, but it also means an appointed place, an appointed time, a meeting. And it's a place you have to be at a certain time, you know, tent of meeting. So the Moad is the same thing. And the Adah is the same thing, an assembly. And the Kahal is also an assembly, whether it's good or evil, of course, but we use it in the good sense. Like we're, you know, Messiah, you know. So we're a kahal, we're a congregation. You know, we're gathered together. Anyway, so we have something about the Syria and Cilicia confirming the churches. We don't know about them, but we have those wordings. Acts 18, there's a, let's see, they saluted the church. They landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church. We don't know about the church in Caesarea that I know of. And we know about the church at Ephesus, right? Because we have but one letter. But these are mentioned in Acts. The church at Centria, we don't know about that, but there was a church there. That's Romans chapter 16. Let's see. The churches of the Gentiles, that's, in other words, we don't know about all the churches of the nations where Paul and everyone created churches. We don't have all that information. You know, I don't know what happened to it. It might have like been written on perishable material or just didn't last or wasn't discovered. It's under some rock somewhere. Yeah. You know what I noticed? It says, Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Messiah Yeshua, who for my life lay down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles, likewise greet the church that's in their house. So they have a gathering in their house of set apart ones to God. So that's called a church in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Messiah. Salute one another with the kiss, with the holy kiss. The churches of Messiah salute you. I guess we're one of the churches of Messiah today. The whole church salutes you. In the Corinthian church, there's a Corinthian church, the churches of Galatia. We only know about one letter to the Galatians, right? But there's churches of Galatia. So it must have been a bunch of them. It says that a few times. It says it in the Corinthian letter and in the Galatian letter, the churches of Galatia, the churches of Judea. We don't have all those. So I'm trying to bring up things today that we have and not we don't have, you know, things that we don't know about. We have, of course, the church at Ephesus. We have that. We have in the Philippians. We have the saints and Messiah, which are at Philippi. So obviously there's a church there. And we have a church in Colossae. We know about that. We have one letter. What's only thing that's a little bit unusual, we have one letter to the Colossians, one to the Ephesians, and one to the Philippians, right? Usually, if you write a letter, what do you expect back? Yeah, we only have it one way. So we're sort of jumping into the conversations right in the middle. Well, who knows? We don't know about any other letters. These are letters Paul wrote back. We don't know about what they wrote Paul or the rebuttal back and forth. We don't have any of that. We just have one letter. I'm sure there was more discourse going on than one letter, right? So something to think about. There's a lot of stuff missing. And then we have the beloved physician, Luke. He's a doctor. I used to always kid around. They said he was a Gentile. I said, but he's a doctor. He's probably Jewish. Nah. I'm only kidding. And Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea. We don't know about that church in Laodicea. And Nymphas. And the churches which is in his house. So Nymphas has a house too that has a gathering. That means a collection of people. They get together. Like Sister Teresa has the church in her house today. She's in California. She has Olga there. That's a church that's in her house. Right? And in other words, it's not the... No, I said Luke, the beloved physician. Yeah. I said some people say he's a Gentile. No, right. Then we have the Church of the Thessalonians. We have that. We have that. Two letters of that, right? But we only have the letters Paul. Paul even makes known in the Corinthian letters, whereof you wrote unto me. He says that. But we don't have the letter they wrote unto him. So a lot is missing. Paul wrote to actually people too, and single, you know, individuals and also groups of people. He wrote to Timothy, we all know that, right? He wrote to Titus, right? So Timothy and Titus are two different brothers we'll meet. He wrote to Philemon and to Apphia and Archippus and the church in their house. They have a church in their house too. So all these people, obviously, they didn't live around each other, and wherever they ended up in life, they started a little gathering. They had people come over, probably for the Sabbath and for whatever. Some letters don't say where, if they, you know, where the churches are. Like Hebrews doesn't mention anything like that. The letter to the Hebrews and James and John and Jude. Jude writes to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. I don't know where that went. I don't know how you write a letter to the Jews scattered abroad. And John's letters are a little vague. I don't know what kind of church they have. It said, my little children, in John 1. John 2 says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children. And John 3 says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. So I don't know if it's a church that's in their house or what's going on there. It's just something we have. Jude. It says, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved the Messiah, Yeshua, and called. So he's writing to someone in some place that we don't know where, right? Peter tells us, he's writing to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. The church that's at Babylon, we don't have that either. Babylon's Iraq, isn't it? So there's even a church there. We read about they burned up all the synagogues of God. So this isn't a long study today, but just to give you some things to think about, there's a lot of churches that came and gone, and we have no record of them. There's only maybe fragments of, I mean, you can't even see them. When we went to Israel a number of years ago, we figured out after being there for a while, it was like civilization upon civilization upon civilization upon civilization. Yeah, and it wasn't like you're going to go there and see exactly everything. The only thing you can recognize is the Sea of Galilee is still there, and things that are, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah is there. You can see a lot of different things, but trying to see exactly what took place, it's hard. The Bible's nomenclature is wrong. If you don't know what nomenclature is, it's a system of names assigned to objects or things in a particular way. The nomenclature is in the front of the books, you know, the books you have. The Tanakh and pseudo-Christians call the Old Testament, they call the Tanakh the Old Testament. And the Gospels and letters they call the New Testament, which is wrong. Therefore causing many problems. We all know that, right? My reasoning is that the Tanakh and the Gospels and letters should have never been put together as one book. That's what I think. For whatever reason, we never see, whatever reason, I don't know what the reason is, we never see dates in the Gospels and letters. Time seems to just get away, you know. It makes it hard to be exact in dating anything, you know. Well, we thought about that this morning. We were thinking about, like, when they wrote a letter to the Ephesians, they didn't date it because it was the current situation going on. Whoever thought your letter 2,000 years ago would be read? Like, when, you know, let's say even an email that you send, let's say the war goes on another 2,000 years. Who's going to know about your email? Well, we can just see only a small assortment of places for believers to attend. A lot of the churches don't name the church, don't say what went on. There's no history of nothing. There's no really ages of people. I mean, it talks about Yeshua was 12, and then he was around 30 one time. And he wasn't yet 50, but it doesn't say, you know, it doesn't really talk about any of that stuff. Matter of fact, if you ever notice that Yeshua's parents got Mary, his mother, she was there, but Joseph vanished.
Never hear much about him anymore.
We don't even know what happened. He must have died because he wasn't there when Yeshua died. We don't know what happened to Joseph. So it's just things that we ponder and think about, you know, if I don't know if you ever think of these things. The Gospels and letters, the word Jehovah is totally missing, even in the Greek. So that's suspicious to us, too. I don't know why it doesn't say, Yehovah anywhere. There are no exact ages of most people in the Gospels and letters. We don't know. I mean, just think, we don't even know if I was thinking this morning, I had to write this down, but the only person, only apostle we knew that was married was Peter, and he had a house. We don't know if John was married or any of the other apostles, right? Paul has a sister. Paul has a sister, I know that, and a nephew. Yeah, I talked about that last week. Paul has a sister and a nephew. It doesn't talk about really any, what I'm talking about doesn't have any kind of like, yeah, we don't have, not that I'm expecting day-to-day activities, but maybe, you know, something that took place in their lives. Yeah. Oh, the Tanakh. The Tanakh has different dates. There's no mention of the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, and it seems that all the letters in Revelation must have been written before the destruction, or they would have mentioned it. Right? That would be a big deal. So that means the whole Bible had to have been completed. And then later on, the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. So everything had to be finished before 70 AD, right? Otherwise, you know someone would have wrote about it, right? That's a big deal. That's a temple they all went to in Jerusalem. So it wasn't like far away. They were right there. They would have said, oh, we're going there. It's destroyed. And there's a lot of things in the Bible we ponder that there's no answers for. Just like I was telling my wife a thought I had, which there's no way to prove. You know, there was 12 tribes. There was also 12 apostles. Was everyone from a certain tribe? Maybe not. I don't know. It's just a thought I had. But who knows?
Well, James and John were brothers. So that couldn't be.
Right, James and John were brothers, so that can't be. Okay, that's proven right there. Can't be.
Ah.
But Matthias showed up. Matthias showed up later. No, but if you really think about, if you think about things in the Bible, you know, there's a lot of things we just don't have today. You know, I wish there was a record kept of with dates, but they obviously were talking in the current, you know, so they didn't date anything because who knows why. Just the letter back then, and who knew that it would we'd be reading their letter 2,000 years later? Think about that. Do you really think of that? Who knew that we'd be reading a letter of Paul 2,000 years later, or James, or John? Or were we even meant to? Who knows? I mean, do we need a letter? I don't know. It does show you the structure of the Gentile churches, you know, Paul and his Corinthians stuff and all that. So without that, you wouldn't know about the deacons and bishops and the order and the structure and the whole thing. So I don't know. There's a lot of things to think about when you read the Bible, and maybe things you haven't pondered or things that are not mentioned. But we'd like to bring up these things, food for thought. See that? It's just food for thought. See that right there? So it's not to lose sleep over, but, you know, just to just ponder. Yeah, just I don't know why. It doesn't even talk about if any of the apostles were married. Who knows? We don't even know where they lived or what they did or on a daily basis or where they worked. Who knows? Paul's a tent maker. That's about it. Aquila and Priscilla were tent makers too, right? They were fishermen, but is that their occupation? I don't know. Anyway, this is not a long study today. Almost an hour. But I hope you got some new thoughts today. You know, it's something to think about. And I didn't want to... Yeah, later on we can go through... So you thought I ended there, right? But later on, we could read my miscellaneous information, which is very long. And it's about the Hebrew Matthew and the Shem Tov, Munster. Are we to believe that and trust the references by Origen and his student Eusebius? No. So, but later on, we could talk about all this, these guys. And the reason why I put this down is because I know that's even current information today. People are still trying to say the Gospels and letters were written in Hebrew. There's no proof. The only thing that's ever been found was this. The Hebrew Munster, which is very erroneous, and I could show you all the errors in it too. And this was taken from a person's website that I gave. Don't go there. I won't go there now because it's too long. But let me show you how long the this is how long the information is. Okay. Yeah, we'll go over the whole thing. It's right on the bottom of here. But you'll see all the errors in it, okay? But anyway, this is only for people that are going to get into conversations. The reason why I put this down is I know some people might get in conversations. Someone might say that, you know, the Gospels and letters are written in Hebrew. There's no such thing. It's never been discovered. There's only this one erroneous book, you know, the Munster Matthew, which is, you know, it's just a Shem Tov Matthew, very corrupt. Anyway, then this is proof to show it's corrupt. That's why I put it down and all the make errors. But we'll go over that later. So I hope you got something out of this study. And some of these websites I got stuff off. I noticed also, I got to always remember, this is like years later. A lot of these sites don't even exist anymore. But we're still here. That's one thing I'm thankful for. A lot of websites I got information out of, and I don't even know if the people are still alive or what happened to them. But anyway, hope you got something out of this study today. And may God bless you today, and may God bless the food we eat and the singing we do, and may God help us in every endeavor in our life and give us correct decisions in everything we make, and show us what to do, where to live, who to be around, and may God always be with us and bless our lives and continue as we continue on this fight for truth and justice. I thank God for the blood of Yeshua. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. God bless you. So what I will do is stop the... I'm going to stop the video. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And then I'll stop the audio in a moment. Let me stop that. Stop the audio. Where is it at? Okay, put the big stopper on that.